NamNab is a podcast that deals with the grisly details of a variety of topics, including true crime cases, government cover-ups, conspiracies, and the paranormal. This content is not suitable for everyone. Viewer discretion is advised.
She was murdered.
Sup, my dudes? Welcome back.
This is not a monster, not a boogeyman.
I'm Naomi. I'm
Janae. I'm Les.
And today I have a really bizarre story for you.
Bizarre.
So today I'll open with a little content warning. The case we're talking about today does discuss the death of a child, depression, suicide, and the occult. If any of these... Yeah.
What? I'm so pumped right now. In the weirdest way.
You guys have bizarre faces.
Yeah, I have questions.
I kind of have answers.
Oh, God. That makes me nervous.
If any of these are touchy subjects for you, we do suggest maybe another episode. And we know that suicide, depression, and other mental health things are really impacting people right now. Because that, I'll be leaving international suicide resources in the description. There's also a national suicide hotline for the U.S., but I've recently heard that they don't do great things, so I don't want to give that number out. I will find other resources to link in the bio for suicide prevention in the U.S. as well. So our podcast deals with all things creepy, so I figured I'd bring you a little combination of the two primary things we discuss, paranormal experiences and true crime.
That is so funny. I'm literally doing the same thing next week. Well, come back again for another ringer.
We like had the same thought.
Missing Halloween. Like, we're like, this is our nostalgic times. We sense September is around the corner and then it's Halloween, which is going to be safely distanced, but still there.
But still fun. So, in 1994, a small Texas town would be shaken by their one and only, and I believe this is still true to this date, cold case murder.
What? Oh, this town in Texas alone?
Yeah.
Okay, I was about to say, Texas has a state, that's bullshit.
Oh, no, not Texas has a state.
I was so concerned.
No, just this small town. It's called Cecil, Texas.
Cecil.
I don't know if this is still true, because, like, someone wrote this in an article that it's, you know, the only one to date, but that article was probably written years ago. I don't know. This case is steeped in tragedy and desperation, as many cases on this podcast are, but I got a weird twist.
Okay.
Looking at the Mabel family, you'd see the standard nuclear family, mom, dad, and kid. The Mabel family was made up of father, Travis, son, Aiden, and mother, Olivia. The family lived in a town called Galena, Texas. Unfortunately, grief would strike the family very quickly. There's not a ton of background on these people when you look at the case. It's really like, and they were a family that lived in this town. Like, I couldn't find early life stuff about either the parents or anything. On March 13th, 1990, 7-year-old Aiden's body was found in a nearby pond. The family was devastated by his accidental death. No one was more devastated than Olivia. Olivia was wrecked with grief, and so wrecked with grief that she began to withdraw from her family, friends, and even quit her job. And this mourning and this grief contributed to the divorce that would come later, just a year after Aiden's death. This left Olivia completely alone, depressed, and grieving the loss of her family. Travis quickly remarried and moved away. The last time anyone would see Olivia alive was September of 1991. I like how you're just looking at me. You're all waiting.
The mom is Olivia?
Yes.
Okay, and she was just disappeared, is what I'm understanding?
She kind of just withdrew from everybody. Yeah, because she was, like, miserable. Which,
Right. She lost her child.
Yeah.
But nobody had ever seen her since that date.
Since September 1991, after she got a divorce from her husband. Mm. On February 27th, 1994, police were called to the Mabel home. On the phone, there was just silence, nothing on the other end. Police arrive at the Mabel home, and they believe the home to be abandoned. Mm. They look at it. It kind of looks shitty. It's boarded up. Doesn't look like anyone lives there. When they kick in the door, they see an old, forgotten home covered in dust and a complete disaster. Like, they said it was a fucking mess in there. As they explore, they find the room of Olivia's late son, Aiden, and they notice his room is kept in perfect condition. It's cleaned and well kept, as if he were still living there.
What the fuck?
I'm fucking confused right now.
It's so weird. And it's about to get weirder. Then they notice Olivia in a rocking chair in the corner of the room. She's wearing slippers and a nightgown and holding a little stick-figured doll. The doll is wearing a little shirt made of the cloth of one of Aiden's t-shirts. It's clear to authorities that she's been dead for some time. Weeks or months, they believe. Next to Olivia's body, they find an altar. This altar, made of a trunk, was clearly for Aiden. It was covered with one of his sheets. It had a photo of him, a pair of his shoes, baseball glove, his teddy bear, the urn that his ashes were in, a variety of candles, flowers, and papers with different symbols on them, and then a large word written in Sanskrit on the front of the altar, and the word means to build or construct in English. And it gets even weirder. Police find a note on top of the altar dated February 27th, 1994, the day that they go into the home. The note reads, "My Aiden, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I should have never let it get like this. I'm leaving. I will not let you keep me, you vile, evil creature. Mommy's coming for you, Aiden. My sweet Aiden, mommy loves you."
What the fuck?
Okay. She referred to the Aiden as this vile creature, or she was talking about something else?
She's talking about something else.
What the fuck, dude? What the fuck? Wait, I thought you said that she had been dead some time.
She had been. Like her.
But she had written that day?
The note is dated for that day. That doesn't mean she wrote it that day.
Excuse me? Excuse me? I'm not okay with this.
I'm scared.
It's very weird, right?
It's fucked up. I'm scared. Like, what happened?
In the interim, I actually pulled up the pictures of the little stick doll.
Oh, God.
And the altar. And I want to show them to you guys. This is the altar that they found. And you can see this on our Instagram, Not a Boogeyman.
What the fuck, dude?
I'm terrified.
Yeah. And this is the little stick doll. You can also see that on our Instagram.
What the fuck is that made of?
This is the note, which you can clearly see is dated February 27th, 1994. It's just like mouth agape. You look like that Pikachu meme right now.
I am that Pikachu meme. Especially when someone's like, "You want snacks?" I'm like, "No." And then they come back without snacks. I'm like,
"What?" So, all right. Horrifying, right? The altar? Terrible.
Yes.
Terrifying. Okay. Even more bizarre. Like I said, the authorities discussed the energy in the home. Like, even the police felt like something was off. In the home, one of the first officers on scene was Francesca Santiago. She said, "I spent a lot of time in El Paso and had an uncle who was into really dark occult stuff. I recognized it immediately. When I walked in that room and saw the symbols and the photo on that altar, I felt a strong, angry presence looming over me. It was honestly the last thing I expected to see in this town." The officer discussed it more later and said she believes that what killed Olivia is what's known as a tulpa, or a thought form. She believed that Olivia had channeled her grief into one of these creatures and it had become evil by feeding on the misery that Olivia was experiencing.
A tulpa? Mm-hmm. And it's a creature? Or it's a thought that forms?
It's a thought, essentially, and I'll explain it a little bit. A tulpa is a mythical concept in Tibetan Buddhism that is created by the willpower of a person. These beings are their own and have their own will, emotions, and memories. And it's described as, it's been described as having another sentient person in your head. Like other entities, the more energy and attention you give it, the more powerful it becomes.
Hmm.
But this is my understanding reading things that are Americanized.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be an incorrect
but
interpretation.
I kind of get it.
Yeah.
It's like this manifestation.
Yes, exactly. So I apologize if I am
really
explaining
strange.
That incorrectly, but that's what I got. By many accounts, these are often not evil or unpleasant, but because of the emotions Olivia was experiencing, it's likely that her thought form turned evil. And one of the websites I used for this episode, I will go over my sources at the end, but they described it this way. Tulpas are not malicious unless you really mess up during the creation process and treat your tulpa in a way that makes them utterly hate you. And even then, a tulpa can't really do you much harm. One scholar of the 20th century who studied tulpas stated in his research, once the tulpa is endowed with enough vitality to be capable of playing the part of a real being, it tends to free itself from its maker's control. This, say the Tibetan occultists, happens nearly mechanically, just as a child. When his body is completed and able to live apart, it leaves its mother's womb. So, essentially, it's its own thing. It becomes its own thing in the universe.
I'm not into it.
You don't like it?
Not into it at all. I just, like, keep thinking, like, oh, my God, what if I've done that, like, unintentionally, and there's just a little tulpa running around.
Fully
my creation.
Energy.
Wow.
You guys are going to fucking love this. The lead investigator on the case had this to say. Quote, nobody had seen her in almost 3 years. She clearly passed her time in some pretty unhealthy ways.
Sure.
The negligent damage to the house, the obsession with her deceased son, and the clearly pagan symbols and altar were all signs of something seriously wrong with her mental health, which is understandable after the death of a child like that, but she just balled up, ran her husband out, never went back to church. See, if she had just reached out, her brothers and sisters in Christ would have supported her. But she left the flock and became the devil's prey.
No,
plain and simple.
Didn't say that.
Yes, that
oh
is.
My fucking
this
God,
is a quote.
Fucking say that. Oh my God, they're so.
I don't even know what to say. I am just in awe.
This is gonna be like my fifth brain aneurysm on the show. Honestly, I'm like.
The house remained abandoned and untouched for some time after Olivia's body was found, and the owner was unable to sell the home due to her death. Which, yeah, yes.
Scary.
In 2005, curiosity arose again, this time in the form of a paranormal investigation. Paranormal investigator Drew Navarro was brought in, and his feelings within the home were similar to those shared before. Drew stated that he didn't feel like he could breathe, that his heart raced the whole time, and he said that the energy in the home was constantly changing, but never welcoming, jealous, and possessive. But not like anything he had ever dealt with before. And this is like a seasoned paranormal investigator who goes and looks at these things, right?
Weird.
Navarro even stated that he believed the structure and the plot of land should just be torn the fuck down. He's like, I don't know what you're gonna do about that, so just get rid of it.
Yeah, you should
burn
just burn it.
Mm-hmm.
Burn it. Me and gnomes. You know what? We're just gonna stop talking about this. Do you have a torch?
Yeah, just burn it.
We'll just burn it.
In my research, to this day, this case remains unsolved.
What the fuck?
Many believe that suicide is the most logical answer to the case.
How, though? Did they do an autopsy?
Yeah.
I didn't find any of that information. Like,
oh, what the fuck?
Like, I'm sure they did an autopsy, but they don't release that shit to the public.
Yeah, sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm.
God damn
you
it.
You have to be next of kin to get, like, a full-ass autopsy report. So.
Oh, what the fuck? I'm so confused, though. How could it be still unsolved if they had an autopsy? Like, if it's suicide, how did she do it, you know?
I think that's what they rule it to on, like, her death certificate is
huh.
a suicide. I disagree. I don't think it's a suicide, or at least not a purposeful one. I believe that Olivia was killed by something more sinister than her own demons, and whatever had formed, that whatever she formed preyed on her grief to make it stronger. Which, I mean, we've talked about before, right? The Hat Man one,
mm-hmm.
They prey on misery, right?
Yeah.
They come around when horrible things are going to happen.
When you have depression.
So
this is why I'm scared.
Question, like, does anyone know if, like, if you kill yourself, does the tulpa die?
I don't know. I mean,
well, I guess I'm
what if she thought that? I would probably think that too. Like,
maybe
if I go, it would go too. I kind of derived that from the note a bit.
I could see that, but I think too, like, given what we like the description of what they are, I feel like it wouldn't kill it to kill yourself.
No,
like,
it wouldn't, because it would just walk around.
Yeah.
Because
it's own
3 years of that is like without any contact from anyone else. Like, that's like,
yeah,
you could form a big ass tulpa.
And that fucking room was pristine, like not even dust, they said, other than like the altar was messy, obviously. Part of me wonders about the house, and it still lays abandoned.
What?
To really? This day. What is the energy like? If the tulpa is some mutilated form of Olivia's sweet son, Aiden. Which I think was the goal.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
But that is not what happened. For now, this case remains a spooky mystery. And one we may never have
Did
the
we ever know
to.
If she had dabbled in the occult at all?
They
that
were making
stick
those
thing was pretty.
They were making those assumptions based off what they found then, but not before that. Like, she went to Christian church, that kind of stuff.
That's
before all this happened.
Fucking weird, Janae. Holy shit. Well, that's a fucking good-ass transition for what I got for y'all next time.
Come back next week. We're going to keep giving you stories to distract you from the shit happening in the world, but we're still going to talk about the shit happening in the world. May.
Janae in editing here. I just did a little more research on this mini that we have for you this week, and it seems like the consensus is it's a viral marketing campaign for a horror movie that never actually happened. But, I mean, I don't know. I've seen it both ways, so let me know what you guys think. All right, thank you. As always, come back next week. Bye.